This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, man. Just quick shout out, thoughts and prayers. People in Florida, some of this footage coming from Hurricane Milton today. Wow. And I'm just looking at the one, you know, my timeline's mostly sports. And so the Tropicana Field, I mean, if the Rays were in the Major League Baseball playoffs, they would be playing probably games at Minute Maid Park right now, because this stadium doesn't exist anymore. It's the walls and the roof are gone. It is a baseball field covered in debris with just a series of metal columns around it. It's an outdoor stadium, basically, now.
Yeah, and you're wondering, too, just like, what happens in a stadium like that when it's built specifically to not get rained on? Like, all the stuff that probably goes wrong when there's a boatload of water in it.
Yeah.
It's above and beyond your... Yeah, it's... Last night, I saw it in various stages. At one point, one of the panels had been ripped off, and then you could see, like, once the wind got into it, it just started tearing the panels off.
It's gone.
One by one. It's nuts.
It's gone. And I know there's been all this talk like, hey, the Rays need a new stadium. You know how we talk about, like, in sports, so-and-so needs a new stadium. We'll probably talk about it with the Texans in a few years when NRG Stadium's 30 years old. The Texans need a new stadium. It happens all the time when stadiums get old. No, literally, Tampa Bay, the Rays need a new stadium. They don't have a stadium anymore. It's been blown over. It's gone. It doesn't exist.
That was a discussion that came up during our Odyssey Out Front event the other day,
yeah,
where in conversation, the fact that the Texans stadium is pushing 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up on, you know, we're not that close, but the 30-year mark is a notable one where you need either new stadium or renovation or, yep, what have you. The Texans don't own that stadium.
I mean,
there might be some interesting things. This is the kind of thing where, on the business side of things, teams really hope you win a Super Bowl or two, because when it comes time to maybe change locations or pitch in for renovations with public money or whatever, it helps to have won a Super Bowl or two in recent years.
They are set up to be a team that can go to the county and really complain about some of the things that they need to subsidize either the current stadium or a future stadium.
Yeah,
D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud set you up well for future stadium conversations.
Look at all the revenue we're bringing in.
Right.
With all these people coming in and spending money and everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that well in 2021.
No. Let's send Cully to go argue for it. Let's see what happens. No, better times now for the Texans for sure. Here was CJ Stroud yesterday when he was asked about giving advice to his opposing quarterback this weekend, Drake May.
Fellow high draft pick who started as a rookie, is there any advice you would give someone in that situation?
Not this week. But no, I'm rooting him. I hope he does good, not against us, but in his future.
Now, you, I thought you nailed it earlier. I hadn't even thought about the angle of, like, okay, was that a thinly veiled Caleb Williams advice question that was being asked there? It's a good point. I was hoping that CJ would sarcastically say, yeah, here's my advice, and just tell him to start doing really stupid things. Like, yeah, I would target Derek Stingley every play. I would throw at Derek Stingley Jr. for sure. I would,
You should, if anything, man, don't listen to all these haters that want you to, you know, to take what the defense gives you,
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah.
Just be you.
Yep.
You be the best version of yourself.
Yes.
You just go ahead and attack downfield.
Yeah.
Listen to all this propaganda about how these windows close tight in the NFL. That's just people trying to keep you down.
That's it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're just trying to get in your head. This was CJ Stroud back on draft night, the draft show that CJ did with Micah Parsons, where they were breaking down all the different picks. CJ was asked by Adam Lefko, who was the host, who's the most pro-ready of these rookie quarterbacks?
Who's the most NFL-ready?
I feel like Drake May is. You watch his tape. just his arm talent jumps off. I mean, he's one guy that, like, to me, like, the one mistake that I did early on in, like, this first couple of games was I moved around too much. Like, I didn't get the ball out on time. I started taking risks that weren't even downfield. They're necessarily scrambling. And when you watch his tape, he scrambles when he needs to. He throws guys open. He has like, right here, he has rollout ability, like, different arm angles. So I feel like
when you watch Drake May.
Okay. He likes Drake May. CJ likes Drake May. What do you think of his breakdown there, Seth? Does that match the Seth Payne film analysis?
Yeah. And I think the one thing, the double-sided blade there of him being patient or not running just to run, is that he also might hold on to the ball a little too long at times. You know, like, it's good. He's gonna hang in there and wait for the play to develop, but there's times where he either gets locked in or stares down, like a lot of young quarterbacks do. I mean, this is on a scouting report out of college too. And that's what you hope, is that, all right, you can get him to either lock in on a guy and bait him a little bit, or that he's just going to stick around too long and then make a late decision or take a sack or whatever it might be. That his bravado or his calm under pressure can be used against him as well as it could be an asset for him.
This might be the game that a lot of fans have been looking for, where either Will Anderson or Danielle Hunter or both get kind of a cluster of sacks in this game. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of times these double-digit sack guys, they're great players. I'll use J.J. Watt as an example. You go back and look at J.J. Watt, and J.J. Watt was maybe the best defensive player of this century. He was incredible. But he would pile up a lot of sacks against the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Tennessee Titans. You know, like, yeah. To get to a 17.5 sack season, you've got to really take advantage of the games that you are going against much lesser opposition. There's no crime in that. It doesn't make him less of a great player. But this seems like a real opportunity, especially when you talk about Drake May holding on to the football. This feels like one of those games where either Will Anderson or Danielle Hunter, we look at the box score afterwards, and they've got a nice crooked number under sacks and QB hits, you know?
Yeah. No, and I think getting them into third down, where the Texans have been very blitz-happy on third downs, and really just throwing the kitchen sink at them in terms of blitzes and confusing looks and everything else, when you feel like you've got the ability to do that. Some of that hinges on the health of Kamari Lassiter. So Kamari Lassiter didn't practice yesterday with a shoulder injury. And if, you know, one of the reasons D'Amico's blitzing more than he ever has in his 4 years now as a defensive coordinator is that he feels good about their ability to play man. That takes a little bit of a hit without Kamari Lassiter.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, what is their depth at corner? I mean, they brought Kadar Holman back in the building. I wonder if that's any... I wonder if them bringing Kadar Holman back is any sort of foreshadowing as to what Lassiter, what his chances of getting on the field are over the next week or two.
Right.
I mean, they're not putting him on IR, so it's not, whatever it is, at least not yet, whatever it is, as of right now, is not a severe 4-week injury.
Mm-hmm.
But Kadar Holman coming back in the building and them not dropping a cornerback as a corresponding move, Could be a tell, maybe, as to what Lassiter's chances of getting on the field are this week.
Yeah, that's what's more concerning to you, Kamari Lassiter's potential absence or the fact that both the offensive tackles didn't practice yesterday?
I would say, you know what, this is going to sound weird to say, Kamari Lassiter probably for me, because I think Blake Fisher did okay as the right tackle. I mean, you're not going against world beaters here with the Patriots. They traded Matthew Judon, so you don't have to worry about him being lined up over the rookie. I think Blake Fisher did fine, and I think Laramie was just getting a regular veteran with an ankle issue day off yesterday. Like, I'm purely guessing, but I'm guessing Laramie's going to play. He played the whole second half of the game after, you know, he suffered the ankle injury early. Or he's had that ankle injury since the Jacksonville game, right? So I think that was probably them just managing him. Like, they manage him all the time, it feels like.
Yeah.
So I think Laramie's going to play. I'm fine with Blake Fisher. I don't know what you do at that opposite corner. They're not even playing a corner at slot corner right now. They're playing Jalen Petrie at slot corner. So,
right. Yeah. Know, so, like, I mean, that's where you're the thin. I feel like they're thinner at cornerback.
No doubt.
Than it feels like, just because he's not. Petrie is not a cornerback who's playing your nickelback. He's a little bit different, you know? So, and we've seen that at times you know, they've struggled in man coverage when they're facing good receivers. And if you have Jalen Petrie out there in man a bunch versus fast guys, you don't feel awesome about it. Last week, it wasn't that big a deal because the Bills don't have that many genuinely fast dudes.
Yeah.
And likewise, the Patriots this week, I don't worry about it as much. I think that physically they can match up all right. That's why I would still be worried about the prospect of both offensive tackles being out. Even though I know what you said about Laremy is correct.
Yeah.
But just because I fear the Patriots defense more than I fear the receiving core of the New England Patriots.
If I knew Laremy was going to be out, then hell yeah, I'm more nervous about that. I'm just predicting he's going to play. Maybe we see a little Desmond King elevation off the practice squad this weekend. I could see that. I mean, Desmond King's on this roster right now. Desmond King has a weird relationship with the Texans, you know?
Yeah.
They repeatedly cut him, but they repeatedly bring him back. And when they bring him back, he repeatedly actually is involved in some pretty good plays for the defense, you know?
Yeah. Like, sometimes immediately so. Like, when they brought him back last year, he was huge on a goal line stand.
Yes, he is on this practice squad right now.
I just, it was a backed up situation when he came in that game. So I think that, or was it a goal?
No, anyway. It was a goal line stand at the end of the Jacksonville game. Stand. Yeah.
That was the one where Jalen Petrie started running into the tunnel as the play was still going on. That was the moment where I was like, all right, this Jalen Petrie has got to get over himself a little bit because this is not acceptable behavior.
Desmond King, happy with him this year. Yes, Desmond King also had that play against Cleveland in the playoff game. Remember where he tackled Flacco and he break dance spun on top of him? Remember that? He like did a little whirly-cue on top of him there?
I was surprised he didn't get find after that for a choreographed celebration.
yeah. But maybe Desmond King elevation is the solution this weekend. We'll see. In fact, I'm going on the record. I'm predicting Desmond King, if Kamari Lasseter doesn't play, we get a Desmond King elevation off the practice.
Desmond
squad.
King is that kitchen implement that you bought when you were drunk on QVC like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And you're like, why the hell did I buy a cornball maker or whatever? And then all of a sudden, what the occasion arises where you're like, somebody, some business client you're trying to impress is like, God, I wish I could really go for a cornball right now. And like, I got just the thing. I got a cornball maker.
Do you have you ever bought anything stupid like that off of an infomercial late at night? Like where you're like, oh God, what was I thinking? It shows up at your house like 2 days later and you're like, oh.
No, I think I've definitely done some stupid internet stuff. Like on eBay back in the day, that was where I would get into a bidding war for something I didn't really want all that much.
You were competitive.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna let this guy get this autographed picture of the other Wahlberg brother or something like that.
I did that. I used to be guilty of that because it's not like I wear dress clothes a bunch, but when I do, I like to look all right. Mm-hmm. So I would find incredible deals on dress shoes or something.
Yeah.
And I ended up like all of a sudden I was like Imelda Marcos with like a closet full of shoes and I never wore them. And it was, because of being drunk on eBay.
The stupidest thing I ever bought drunk at night on an infomercial was a hot dog steamer. Like this thing.
Pretty dumb.
It is really dumb, but it made pretty good hot dogs, but it was very labor intensive. You had to take the hot dogs and like, they had like these prongs that you had to stick into either side of them, and you'd stick like 7 hot dogs in a row, close the shield, fill it with a little bit of water, and it would just steam the hot dogs for like 10 minutes. And
how do they end up tasting differently than a normal, like microwaving a hot dog?
They did. Well, microwaving hot dog is a texture thing. You know what I mean? Like if you microwave a hot dog wrong, It can get a little ugly.
It can. I guess the only thing is you don't get the browning of it, but it doesn't sound like the thing you use would brown it at all.
No, it doesn't brown it. It's the replacement for somebody who fills up a pot of water and drops them in,
boils their hot dogs.
And it took me one try to go, you know what's a whole lot easier? Just filling up a pot with water and dropping these hot dogs in here. Like
if you're going to boil a hot dog, I've never understood the appeal of that versus microwaving it. I don't know, Sean, maybe I just have a knack, a feel for the appropriate number of. I can tell by the weight and circumference and everything else of a hot dog. Oh yeah, that's a 37-second hot dog right there.
Yeah, you make valid points. You're discounting my dream and fantasy of being a New York street hot dog vendor, where I get to actually take my prongs out and pull the hot dog out of the water, put it in a bun. and do it again two or three more times for the other hot dogs I eat in one sitting. And that's why.
Has that dream been replaced by being a food truck operator? Because that's all the, you know, it's been a while now. I was about to say, like, that's all the rage these days. It's been about like 15 years now that food truck cuisine has actually been a thing. So every now and then I'm like, I see somebody like serving up something that I like at some kind of barbecue or whatever, whatever the little spin is on. I'm like, yeah, that would be nice. On the weekends and do the food truck thing.
There's a great food truck at the gas station right near where we turn to go on Merworth to go park in the media lot at Texans games.
Yeah.
It's like a Tex-Mex food truck. It's really, really good. I was really bummed out 2 days ago. I was walking downtown. I was going to the mayor's office for our friend Cindy Bourbano. It was getting named Cindy Bourbano Day. She's one of the DJs on Mega. So congrats to her. On Tuesday, October the 8th was Cindy Bourbano Day. So I, along with several of our coworkers, went to the ceremony. And I parked like four blocks from town hall because there was no parking. I was really bummed as I was walking through downtown Houston on a vibrant, sunny, nice day. No street vendors for anything. That's what I love about New York, man. If I got an inkling for a gyro or a hot dog, I only need to wait about 15 seconds for a light to change and walk across the street to go get one. There's nothing like that in Houston. What about me, man? I get hungry walking from my car to the mayor's office. I was really hankering for a street dog. We got none of that. No umbrella push cart street guys.
It's kind of cruel to... I don't know. Is that a culture in any hot city for like actual food stand like people in America, at least? I know it's like
a good question, but it doesn't solve my problem at all. It's all about me. I needed a hot dog in that moment.
Well, you should just take the matters into your own hand and get yourself a food truck and then just, you know, or several, and plant them in appropriate places around the city.
Nobody
where you might
needs
need
that.
A food truck. Nice thing about a food truck is the sense of superiority, I'm guessing you feel, because you're so much higher than the customer.
Yeah, that's true.
You're
kind
of like, you're like the judge of whether or not they get their food.
Yeah, that's true.
You've also got, like, if you get an unruly customer, you've got the high ground.
High ground
can rain
big.
Blows down on them much easier than they can try to fight back.
High ground is big. You're right, Seth. I might like a food truck because if there's one thing I like that people know that I like, it's feeling superior to other people.
Yeah.
So I might really like a food truck. I don't even care what the food is. I just like looking down on people, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I'll just sell potato chips or something.
You should have gotten down to Bayway during the when they were doing their free lift special. You could have gotten a food truck with a 4-inch lift.
that would have been amazing. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Nico Collins injury. We have an interesting text from somebody. This is the most optimistic text I've read about Nico Collins' hamstring injury. And where does the hamstring injury for Nico rank on the Texans injury devastation scale? We've got that for you coming up next.